My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
The Saturday night get-together here on CBS Sports Radio. Jody Mack coming your way live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your current one, Rocket Mortgage can help get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Rocket can. All right, we've got a golf tournament that's going to finish up tomorrow. They've been playing pretty well this weekend, and then an even bigger one next weekend with the second major of the year. Here to give us our favorite golf update. He's the best in the business when it comes to breaking it down and explaining it. He does it for the Golf Channel and on his own syndicated show, Fairways of Life, our buddy Matt Adams. How you doing, M.A.?
I'm okay, Jody Mack. How about you?
Good. No, the scores are low. Give me the weather report from down there in Texas. How hot has it been? We know the scorecards are hot. How's the weather?
Yeah, but one's tied to the other because it's been in the mid-90s. It has been breezy the first couple of days, but, you know, this is a modern golf course. It's got larger greens so that the pins are accessible and you bring the best in the world in, and then it heats up to the mid-90s. It means the ball is going to carry farther. The greens, like I said, are receptive, so they've been able to roll a lot of great putts because they're in beautiful condition. Combination is last year, K.H. Lee won at 25 under par through 3 rounds. Sebastian Munoz leads at 21 under par. And last year was a record scoring year. I think it's going to go even lower this year.
Yeah, could see a new all-time record. And I saw Jordan Spieth, who presently sits at second. That's his home course down there in the Lone Star State, say he thought he would thought that they would try and toughen it up this year. That has not been evidenced by the scores. Impossible, as the course is what it is. Could they have made it tougher, or is this the way?
They could always make it tougher. Like, you know, today the 17th hole was playing from 123, and they can stretch that back to 147, and that's the shortest of the par threes. The other three are well in excess of 200 yards. They could have stuck the pins a little bit more, but, you know, I look at it like NHL hockey. You know, when you go in the playoffs, back in the day, you'd see scores of 1-0, and that was playoff hockey. That's the way it went, where, you know, a regular game, you might have 4-3 or 6-5. This year is a bit of an anomaly because they're scoring so high. But I feel the same way about week in and week out. These are the best players in the world. Do a fair job setting it up. Don't do something stupid that's unfair and takes away the ability to hit a shot or be rewarded for a shot that you struck. And whatever they shoot, they shoot. It really doesn't matter because they're so good. There is no relative way to judge against the rest of the world. So Munoz is 21 under. Jordan Spieth is one shot back at 20 under. And if it goes to whatever, 30 on tomorrow, that's what it does. Now, next week, when you're talking about a major at the PGA Championship at Southern Hills, that won't happen. They might be 6 or 8 under when it's all said and done on those golf courses, and that's okay. Different week, different course, is what it is.
Understood. But you talk about going low. Munoz, who leads at 21, shot a 60. How close was he getting into the 50s in round number one?
Well, in 18, his final hole of the day was a par 5. And he had it hole high. This is round one. He had it hole high in 2, but he was 38 yards from the flag stick. So he had a good shot, you know, from there, but he would have had to hole it for the 59. But that's how close he came. Now, here's the thing. With that round of 60, he had a bogey on his scorecard. So it was just great scoring.
Damn, it's nice when you can tap in for a 60. And that's exactly what he did in round number one. Came back, shot at 69, but then comes back with 66 today. So he does sit atop the leaderboard at minus 21. And the homeboy, Jordan Spieth, as he said on his home course, thought it might be a little tougher, just one stroke out. Is he the prohibitive favorite going into tomorrow with his knowledge of the course?
I think if you judge it in terms of hearts and minds, but at this point, they all have intimate knowledge of the golf course. This is the second year we've been on TPC Craig Ranch, so there's no advantage to him in terms of what he knows that the others don't. The advantage is that the winds are down markedly from what they were when the tournament started. It's going to be warm again, so once again, no matter what happens, it's going to be a birdie fest out there. I think Jordan Spieth is the favorite just because he's Jordan Spieth. But Sebastian Munoz is playing great. James Hahn had a 61 today. He's three shots back. There's a lot of good scores that are still lurking out there.
All right, Justin Thomas just threw off as well. It's a pretty good leaderboard, including the defending Masters champion, Scott Scheffler, who has not played since the Masters and said, I'll use this one as my warm-up. Five strokes back might be tough to win, but he's going to finish top 10 for sure. Is this a good prep for him and all the others who are heading to Southern Hills next week?
Well, when you look at Scottie Scheffler, his best round of the three was today, so you can certainly say he's trending in the right direction because he had a 65 today. He had a triple bogey on his card yesterday and still shot a 68. So could there have been a little bit of rust there? Absolutely, there could be a little bit of rust there. But what's different about Scottie Scheffler, I believe, is the way that he's wired. I've always believed, you know, we like to look at athletes and say that the best of the best somehow are tougher than everybody else. And with all due respect to everybody else and them, I don't believe it. You know, no matter what the sport is, we look at the great heroes and we say that there's something different about them. I believe it's natural. I believe it's how their brain is wired. I believe it's how they're influenced by pressure. And Scottie Scheffler, even before he broke through and has gone on a tear and won multiple times, including the Masters and now number one in the world, he would never shrink from the biggest stages. If you looked on him at the biggest events, even when he was literally a nobody, you were like, who is this guy? What he's doing? So I've always had this suspicion that true ability to handle pressure comes from within, and you are either born with it or you're not. And again, I'm saying that, Jody Mac, because you and I both know athletes that are the toughest human beings we've ever seen that have failed at the moment when they needed to either cross a line to triumph or forever be remembered for what they didn't do. And I just don't believe that those people weren't as mentally tough as the people who succeeded. Those people who are mentally tough just have a natural gift. They have something different than everybody else. I think Scottie Scheffler has that.
Fair enough. All right. So he's going to go in no matter what he does yesterday, tomorrow, unless he blows up and shoots an 80, which on that course is virtually impossible. Chances are he's going to be the favorite going into the PGA next week. So you're telling me he's got the mental makeup. When he won the Masters, he wasn't the favorite. He was one of the favorites, but he wasn't the number one favorite. He'll be the number one favorite next week. You think he's got the mental makeup to just laugh at that?
Yeah, from the standpoint of it being pressure to him.
Pressurized, yes.
I don't think it makes any difference to him at all. I asked him after he won the Masters, you know, how did this change your life? How does it change your self-image? How does it change your perception? And he said it didn't change anything. He's just going on doing what he's doing. He's just one of those guys. He's just not impacted on it. He doesn't care that you and I are talking about his prospects tonight on CBS Sports Radio. Just doesn't impact him the way it does other human beings, the weight of expectation. He's a really unique athlete. And again, if you look at him in terms of who those athletes are, the ones that are not influenced by pressure, the all-time greats, I suppose you could go back to someone like a Walter Hagen, not so much Bobby Jones, because he was influenced by pressure and expectation. That's why he retired at 28, because of the toll that it took on him physically. Ben Hogan was very good at handling it. Arnold Palmer was excellent. Probably nobody was better than Jack Nicklaus. The only one you could have an argument with would be Tiger Woods. And those two are the top two in terms of how you would analyze that. I think Scottie Scheffler is a really, really unique athlete. If you start to get down into now, okay, does Scheffler have the game to compare relative to his competitors at the time that Nicklaus had during his era? Tiger had during his era, if it's done, maybe not. I mean, that could be a difference, and that's a legitimate conversation to have in terms of overall skills, how his swing can hold up in the long haul and his execution of shots. But he's good enough right now that he should be the favorite of the PGA Championship, and he darn well very could win it.
One other name I'd add to that list of guys who handled the pressure, probably be the guy who they are playing the tournament named after this week. I'm a wee bit young, as I know you are too, to remember and be able to say, saw Byron Nelson rip off 11 in a row. When you get the 5 in a row, you start to feel the pressure. When you get the 10, you start. He ripped off 11 in a row. So without ever having seen him play, I put him in that mix.
In fairness, in that year, he won 18 tournaments. Critics will say that it was because it was the end of the Second World War and the fields weren't filled out because so many players were serving. He couldn't serve in the Second World War, Byron Nelson. He was what his fellow players called him, a bleeder. In other words, that his blood didn't coagulate enough to stop bleeding fast enough, so he couldn't go and serve, so he was continuing to play. There are many. In fact, Bob Golby, who just passed away recently and played golf with and against Byron Nelson, told me that when the guys came back from serving in the Second World War, they gave them a hard time, including the cold shoulder. And a year after that, Byron Nelson was off the tour, one of the most talented, dominating players of all time. So it's one of those stories that's buried within the story that you don't realize about Byron Nelson.
Well, the tournament named after him this week, and somebody's going to go low, as Byron did a lot of those times, winning those 11 straight tournaments. All right, next week in Oklahoma, give us the rundown on Southern Hills. Good weather again, going to be hot in Oklahoma. It's going to be a PGA course, which will be a little tougher than this week's course. How does Southern Hills play for a PGA spot?
Southern Hills has hosted more PGA championships than any other golf course. They hosted there in 1970, 1982, 1994, 2007, and now 2022. It is a true championship caliber golf course. It's also hosted other majors, 8 in total. It underwent a major renovation in the last couple of years. So all told, you've got a golf course that has the pedigree. You've got a golf course that understands what it's like to host an event of this stature. It's set up by a guy named Kerry Haig at the PGA of America, who is one of the best in the business at what he does. And he doesn't set it up with any preconceived notion. This is not a U.S. Open setup where there's an effort made, spoken or unspoken, that the scores stay somewhere around even par. He sets it up fairly, but it is tough because that's how they pick these venues. So again, I would see it somewhere being like 6 to 8 under par when it's all said and done. But everything about this golf course is pure brawn. It's got plenty of length to it, almost 7,500 yards. The two par fives are over 600 plus yards. There's a couple of par fours that approach 500 plus yards. I mean, it's got whatever you're looking for in terms of identifying the best player overall. It's going to be able to do it. And the greens are relatively small, which makes it even more challenging.
I would have guessed Oakmont as the most often played PGA Tour, but you know better than me. So Southern Hills
PGA,
it is.
Well, PGA Championship, the Oakmont has more U.S. Open.
U.S. Open.
USGA events. Yeah.
I'm getting the two of the four Masters confused. That's my bad. We're talking to our buddy Matt Adams from the Golf Channel and his syndicated show, Favorite Ways of Life, here with us on CBS Sports Radio. All right, the defending champ will not be there to defend his championship. That would be Phil Mickelson. Phil has not played. He has backed out of all of his tournaments since he had let's say, tete-a-tete with the PGA, talking about potentially moving to the other tour, which hasn't gotten underway just yet. It's just been one big mess for Phil, a lot of the other golfers, the PGA. Are we ever going to see Phil on a PGA course again?
I think so. The concern that I have right now is I fully thought Phil was going to come back. Oldest major champion ever, broke Julius Boro's record at 48 years old in 1968. Phil did it at 50 years old. Phil will be 52 next month. I fully expected that Phil would be back. What was odd, in fact, the last time you and I spoke, Jody Mack, was the fact that when he wrote his letter of apology,
right,
and said, I need to get away, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, the last 10 years, things have been affecting me more, and I'm not the person that I think I should be, et cetera, et cetera. There was a lot of people inside the game that I know, and they rolled their eyes. They said, that's Phil. He's a master at damage control, and he's going to get himself out of the limelight. He's going to duck low and let everything fly over his head for a while, and then he'll reemerge triumphantly at the PGA Championship, because honestly, what Phil did, it was a revelation of character, and yes, what he said was appalling. However, Phil did not conceive the notion of LIV Golf and going to the Saudis and having them back it so that they could change their image instead of people seeing it for what it is in horrendous terms of human rights. So, you know, what Phil did was bad, because Phil revealed himself as being something other than the person that everybody thought that he was. I wouldn't say that he revealed himself as being different than those inside of the game. Many of them thought and knew that he was. But at the same time, the reaction, I think, was out of balance with the sin. The crime was not consummate with that. Yet, he chose to step aside. He chose to get out. And again, most thought that he was doing it just to avoid the slings and arrows at the time and place. This changes that. This is the first decision, not the Masters, but this one, because he is a defending champion. This, because at the Masters, you still always had the whispers in the hallway that said, well, you know what, maybe they asked Phil not to show up because they didn't want the circus. The Masters controls everything they do, and they have every right to do that. It's their show. It's their bat. It's their ball. But in this case, he is the defending champion, and what he did was historic. And for him to not show up, that tells me there's something more going on here. Now, and I don't have the intention of tethering these two together, but the news just came out this week about more revelations from Alan Shipnuck's book, and that is the investigations that were done between 2010 and 2014 when Phil supposedly lost $40 million gambling. Is there something to all that? Is all of this connected? Is Phil off trying to get help for whatever he was referring to in his own letter when he said he wants to work on being the person that he feels that he should be, again, paraphrasing that phrase? We don't really know, but I do believe that something more is happening than Phil simply trying to avoid the criticism in the media circus.
And Shipnuck's book is supposed to be out right before the start of the PGA, right?
Yeah, his book is coming out soon. I don't actually remember the exact publication. I know he's doing a ton of media on it right now, but it's soon.
Yeah, I think it's next week, as a matter of fact, which from a very business-like standpoint, if you're going to put out a book about the PGA champion, the 50-year-old PGA champion, you want it to come out on PGA Week, only he's not going to be playing, which is a major story unto itself. One guy who is going to be playing is Tiger Woods. He, like most of these other guys, took time off after the Masters. A lot of them playing this week for the first time, including the champion Scheffler. Tiger has not played. I'm sure he's played a lot on his own, but he's not played in the tournament. After he played in the Masters, just the fact that he made the cut, made it through all four rounds, most people considered that a major victory for him. He did struggle on Saturday and Sunday. Looked like the tank was starting to run a little low. But as of now, he is still listed as playing. Will we not know if he is or isn't going to go till Tuesday and see if he does show up?
You know, I suppose that could be the case, Jody Mac. I hadn't really thought about it, because in my mind, I felt like he's going to be there. He went up there and he had the practice round. We know that he wants to compete. We know that he's looking at a model like Ben Hogan, that after his horrendous car accident, you know, we look at 1953. Ben Hogan played in six events. He won five of them, and three of them were majors. So Tiger already showed us when he came out at the Masters, too, that he's capable of coming out and shooting good scores if the body and mind hold up. Sure, he had those matching 78s on Saturday and Sunday, but that's a very hilly golf course. It was his first one back. So presumably he's working on all those things that he has been, which the rush usually shows in the short game, little chip shot, pitch shots, you know, putting, et cetera. And Tiger's been strong in that area. He knows how to hit the golf ball. So I think Tiger is going to play. I don't think it's a question of waiting for a last-minute revelation. I think Tiger's going to be there, and I think Tiger's ready to go, and I think everyone that's a fan of the game hopes that he plays as well as he's absolutely capable of, and we all sit back and once again are thankful that we can watch him play after his car accident.
Good to hear and agreed. Southern Hills, significantly less hilly than yes. Augusta, as yes. that should make it easier on him, so we'll see how well he can put up. All right, you sung the praises pretty darn high on Scottie Scheffler and his chances, and you think he's up to any and all challenges, so I won't make you pick against him for the Masters, for the PGA. But if so, who's got the best chance? Who's his toughest competition going into next weekend?
You know, it's funny because there's so many people that you can choose from that is tough competition. I mean, I have a funny feeling that Tony Finau is going to play well at this one. Don't ask me why. I don't know why, but that name is ringing in my mind. I do think that Jordan Spieth, even if Jordan doesn't get it done tomorrow, I think the fact that Jordan Spieth has won recently and he's showing good form again, and he seems to stop playing golf swing and start to react to target in major championships. So I think that he is one to keep an eye on. I think young Sam Burns is one to keep an eye on. I look at someone like a young player that you may not have heard of named Davis Riley, where I think there's a potential for someone playing well there. Max Homa just won, and he is in very good form. So there's a bunch of young players that I think we have to watch very closely, and that says nothing for the Rory McIlroy, who feels like he's in the best form that he's been going to a PGA championship in years, and Justin Thomas, who's starting to strike the ball well. So all of it is churning together such that we have so many good players playing great golf right now that this could easily, I mean, every major is historic, right? But it could be, from a competitive standpoint, incredibly entertaining.
I'm glad you mentioned Max Homa because I was going to specifically ask about him. Let me ask about one more, and that would be Xander Schauffele, who you mentioned the fact that the guys have been playing better, except for your leader, as the Schefflers picked it up each and every single day. Schauffele shot a 72, came back with a 67, shot 65 today, so he too is trending in the right direction. Is he a factor next week in the PGA?
You know, he always is, but it's getting to a point where at some point we're all going to say, you know what, Xander Schauffele is not performing to the level that his promise and talent had us all believing that he was going to do. It's still possible to go the other direction. He could go on a tear. Yes, he won the gold medal at the Olympics. All of that was great. But he needs to really step up and break through in big events, including at the majors. So I'm not as high on Xander Schauffele as I am as all those other players that I mentioned. Do I believe he's capable of it? I absolutely believe he's capable of it. But in my mind, it's gotten to a point where he's got to prove it. He's got to go out there and do it.
Fair enough. As always, Matt Adams, you bring intelligence and information when you join us. Thank you much for doing it tonight. Enjoy the final round tomorrow, and then good luck at the PGA next week.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
My pleasure. Check out his own syndicated show on any year better out where you get your better podcast, The Fairways of Life, as good a golf talk show as you're going to find, and you can see him on the Golf Channel. Matt Adams from the Golf Channel here with us on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Jody Mack coming back. Got time to get your calls in. We put golf into the mix with the hoops, the hockey, and the football. We've already been talking. Hit us up, 855-212-4CBS. Get you on CBS Sports Radio with the Mack Man.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.